Imagine this. A major product launch fails. The software crashes on day one, customer complaints pour in, and the press is merciless. The Monday morning post-mortem is cold. Instead of clarity, the room fills with finger-pointing in every direction. Marketing blames engineering for not delivering on time. Engineering blames product management for scope creep. Product management blames leadership for unrealistic deadlines. Everyone has an excuse. No one has ownership. The real problem? A culture of blame, not accountability. And when blame becomes the default response, learning stops, trust erodes, and performance collapses.
You are listening to The Mammoth in the Room, a podcast dedicated to sharing science-backed leadership strategies for real-world success.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Mammoth in the Room, where we explore leadership lessons that stand the test of time. I'm Nicolas Bocconi, CEO of Mammoth Leadership Sciences. And today we continue our new mini-series on difficult leadership situations. These episodes drop in from time to time, not as a single consecutive series, but as spotlights on the real human challenges leaders face every day in their teams. And before we dive in, a quick reminder. This fall, Mammoth Leadership Sciences is launching its online Leadership Academy. Our very first course will help leaders like you to decode the psychological, biological, evolutionary traps that hold organizations back. Stay tuned for that. Now, today's archetype is the blame shifter, the person who never seems to own mistakes. They are masters at scapegoating, experts at dodging responsibility, and they corrode trust wherever they sit in a team. Now, as always, let's talk about the research first. Why does blame shifting even exist? Psychologists have long studied what's called the self-serving bias. Miller and Russ, 1975, and again we have the literature in the show notes, described it this way. When things go well, we credit ourselves. When things go wrong, we blame external factors. It's not always malicious. It's a built-in bias that protects self-esteem and social standing. From an evolutionary perspective, this bias made sense. In small groups, failure could mean exclusion, loss of status, or even banishment. By shifting blame, it wasn't me, it was the tools, the weather, the others. Our ancestors protected themselves from punishment. Better to deflect than to be cast out. In that way, scapegoating is an ancient survival strategy. But worked better, or better prevented potential immediate life-altering individual consequences in tribes, now undermines modern organizations. Blame-shifting blocks learning. Amy Edmondson's work on psychological safety shows that when people fear being punished for mistakes, they hide errors or project them onto others. Teams then lose the opportunity to reflect, adapt, and improve. Neuroscience adds another layer. Scapegoating lowers the immediate cortisol spike of being confronted with failure. A short-term relief, but repeated patterns of blame erode trust networks in the brain, especially in the medial prefrontal cortex, regions linked to social bonding. In other words, blame shifting protects the individual in the moment, but damages collective trust over time. Now, we've seen scapegoating play out in history and in business. For example, Apollo 1, 1967. After a cabin fire killed three astronauts during a test, the investigation revealed a maze of contractors, agencies, and managers, each eager to deflect responsibility. It wasn't one villain, but a culture where fragmented ownership allowed blame to bounce endlessly. Or let's take Volkswagen's EmissionGate scandal, 2015. When the emissions cheating devices were exposed. The company initially blamed a few rogue engineers. As investigations deepened, it became clear the problem was systemic, reaching leadership levels. That delay in collective ownership made the reputational and financial damage far worse. And also in everyday workplaces. Many of us have sat through project reviews where sentences like, "These dependencies were outside of my control," were thrown around.
Of course, sometimes valid, but when it becomes a pattern, it's blame in disguise. These stories remind us wherever there is a chronic scapegoating going on, there is stalled learning. So what's the implications for leaders? How do we deal with the blame shifter? First, recognize the difference between legitimate attribution and chronic scapegoating. It's true, external factors exist. Projects do fail for reasons beyond one person's control, but repeated patterns of deflection signal deeper issues. Secondly, leaders must model ownership themselves. Admitting mistakes publicly sets the tone. I misjudged the deadline. Here's what I'll do differently now. That creates space for others to do the same. Thirdly, build accountability into systems. This means clear roles, transparent expectations, and a culture where mistakes are framed as data, not death sentences. Edmondson calls this a learning culture. Teams that treat failure as an opportunity to improve rather than a trigger to hide. And the ones who are following my podcast regularly know I'm the first to hold up my hand and brag proudly with my mistakes. Why? Well, because I reflected on them and learned from them and decided for a better way the next time. Or at least avoided the bad thing I did the next time. And you can do the same. Finally, address the blame shifter directly. In one-on-one conversations, highlight the pattern. I've noticed you often highlight external factors. What part of this outcome do you feel was in your control? Shifting focus to ownership reframes the discussion. Now, if there's one thing I wanted to take away from today's episode, it's this. Leaders can forgive mistakes, but not the refusal to own them. Accountability is the bedrock of trust and learning. All right, that was today's look at the blame shift. In our next episode of Difficult Leadership Situations, we'll meet the credit thief, the one who hogs the spotlight, steals recognition, and leaves team disheartened. This was it for today, and if this episode resonated, please subscribe, rate, and share with anyone in your network interested in leadership. And don't forget, Mammoth Leadership Sciences, it's launching its online leadership academy this fall. It's packed with insights, tools, and frameworks to help you become a more self-aware, adaptive leader. Keep an eye out. And if you want to learn more, you can order my book. It has the same title as this podcast, The Mammoth in the Room. It offers a practical roadmap how great leaders and their teams embrace evolutionary truths for outstanding business results. And it does it in three sections, on people, on strategy, and on implementation. Until next time, lead wisely, think critically, and don't let ancient instincts hijack your modern leadership. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, and this is The Mammoth in the Room.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this content, don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you on the next episode of The Mammoth in the Room.